A familiar text to many, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, going to read verses 18 to the end of that chapter, verses 18 through 32. This was the inspired word of God then when it was penned. And it's the inspired word of God now before us in this book we call the Bible. So let us, because it is God's word, pay careful attention to it for our lives' sake. Beginning Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. May God bless the clear reading and communication of his will and his word to our hearts. Again, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would lead your people in the everlasting way for your great name's sake in this day and age, despite this day and age, for evil abounds even in our nation. But we, your people, O Lord, have been saved by your amazing grace from this. Hear our prayer, and Lord Jesus, bless our prayer in the presence of God our Father, which art in heaven. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so what I'm going to do is in two parts today. I can't do this all this morning. I'd like to be able to say all there is to say, even in two parts, but I cannot. The second part, I'm going to say right now, is better than the first. But I know, yeah, you got to come and see if it's true. Some people will say, you know, why don't you preach in the evening? They come up to me sometimes and say, why don't you preach that in the morning? Everybody needs to hear that. So sometimes it is true that the second is better than the first. But both parts are necessary to lay down a foundation here, because I'm sick and tired of what I hear and see in the news and the views, going about in public, in the nation, even in the church. I'm sick and tired. It's up to here. It's a stench in my nostrils. Not that I'm any better than anyone else. Not that I'm without fault or sin or mistake. You know mine probably better than most. But it's terrible what's going on in our society, in our culture, in our world, and in all you precious United States. And so what I want to do is explain a little bit what's going on according to the Word of God. But before I do, I just want to make a quote. I want to quote Professor Gritters, who's a professor of practical theology in New Testament in the Protestant Reformed Seminary, Michigan there. And, basically say what a lot of people in the Reformed community are saying, thinking, that you don't hear much of these days. Unfortunately, not even in church. But I just want to quote, I don't like to do this because you don't have it in front of you, so you can't follow it on a paper, but I think I just want to do this and then get into a little bit of the points I want to make. I want to make three points from the Bible on this. I want to say, why such evil? I want to answer that question, why the decline in our culture, in our society, in our nation? What's going on? And then the second point I want to make is, what must we Reformed Christians say about this? Should we say anything? What should we say about all this? What's happening? And then the third is sort of follows on the second, is what should we tell our children? What should we say to our children? Now, you tell me anything on television today, any news is more important than these three things right here? All these people that are out there filling their sheets and other places, the stores, and listening to whatever they're listening to, rather than going to a church, especially a Reformed church, but even a good godly church, some church. What a waste of life. What a waste of time. Hear the same old talk that's been talked about throughout the whole week on the Lord's Day. Fill your minds with puke all week long and then puke on the Lord's Day. Now, let me read this to you. This is, again, Professor Gritters. The USA is rushing to ruin. A victim of her own out-of-control passions for sex, violence, lies, godless pleasures, power, and every form of wickedness. Some might say she is going to hell in a handbasket, but that sounds to be making light of a very serious matter. Our society is plunging itself into ruin, asking for a tsunami to overcome her from both the Atlantic and Pacific. Recently, some in our society have been pushing back against a few of the evils that most disturb them, the media and others, who have a voice in our society, have been complaining of, even objecting vehemently to, a trio of evils that have shown themselves among us. Sexual assault, mass murder, the terrorists and the people that shoot up high schools and college campuses, and lies, aka fake news. But the objections are hypocritical, because while venting their spleen against these particular forms of evil, Society approves and promotes dozens of other kinds of the same sin. It is a self-righteous rampage. Objecting to mass murderers wielding AK-47s, while at the same time approving the killing of unborn children and paying to be entertained by violence on television and the movies, is hypocritical. Condemning sexual predators while sponsoring every form of fornication and homosexual behavior in entertainment and society is two-faced. As for fake news, a horrible euphemism for just bald lies, our country has for so long winked at yellow journalism, one-sided reporting, and tabloid excesses, that to censure fake news now is worse than disingenuous. At the deepest level, the USA has rejected truth with a capital T and therefore cannot be serious about a desire for truth in any area. In this swiftly decaying society, the Church of Christ must exist. We must live and witness. We must not partake of her evils in any shape or form, lest we plunge ourselves into the same ruin into which our country plummets. And so the question becomes why? Why is our country, as some say lightly, going to hell in a handbasket? And that is just almost a flippant comment, because it's much more serious than that, because it's the Word of God that we have to go to that says much more than that. Now, there are people interested in dealing with this problem. In the unbelieving camp, or the camp that wants nothing to do with Christ or say anything about Christ or Jesus in the schools or in culture or anything like that, but they still want a solution to the problem. But the problem is, as soon as they hop on or jump on the bandwagon calling such things evil, you see, evil is not a scientific term. Right? Evil is really not a psychological term. It's not even a political term. Calling this crime or this sin evil, what does that conjure up? Evil is a theological term. And as soon as you mention good and evil, you see, you are bringing God into the picture. But that's where it gets uncomfortable for them. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to talk about Christianity. They don't want to talk about the Bible and what God says in the Bible is good and evil, right and wrong. Because you see, they don't want anything to do with that. And yet they use the term because they can't think of another one that's better to explain what in the world is all this sin about. They don't like to use the word sin. What is all this crime about? What is all this sexual assault? What are all these lies coming from people? What is this all about? And as I just mentioned, it's uncomfortable in the public arena and the society at large, but it's also uncomfortable to mention in the schools. Among the young people, the children, you can't talk to them about absolutes, that this is absolutely right and this is absolutely wrong. This is absolutely right because the Word of God said so. This is absolutely wrong because God says so. You can't say that. And so there aren't any absolutes. There aren't any standards except what is convention or tradition or what your family taught you or what the culture thinks anew should be. And so they are marching into ruin. Because of this. Because this an out rejection of God and Jesus Christ and the gospel and the word. They're just pushing it out further and further. And so it gets very difficult for them to have a standard, a straight edge by which to judge. Eventually, it becomes confusing. They don't know. But again, dear Christian, we need to realize that we need to do better than this. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it tonight, but we certainly cannot be, we cannot chime in with the confusion of the day and go along with all this. Now, there are those that don't want to have anything to do with it. And so what they do, what they seek is distraction from it, right? Through sports, through entertainment. Much like the old time king and his kingdom, you know, he'd have problems with his in his kingdom, and sometimes it was stressful. A lot of times it was stressful. What to do? And so what they did was, in order to relieve themselves of the stress, they would hire a jester to entertain, to take their minds off, for a little while anyway, the problems that were going on. That was the role of a court jester, to entertain, to distract. And that's what a lot of people try to do. They try to distract through sports and entertainment and movies and television and things like that. That's or social media. They turn to such things for a distraction. Of course, what one person said is probably very true. Humankind cannot bear very much reality. The reality is all around us. It's right in front. Christians can't bear it. Christians don't like to think it. They have these post-millennial optimistic views that say everything is getting better. There's a golden age coming, or we're about to go into that and someday in the future. Don't worry. Be happy, and that kind of thing. And it just doesn't work. It's not true. It's not happening. Man is not getting any better. And he never will without Christ. There's just no way. There is no way. Natural man can do better than this, than what he's doing. He's trying. But it simply doesn't work without God, without Christ. It's not going to work. And here we have, in Romans chapter 1, the reason why. And so we need to talk about, what do we say to all this as Christians? It's not getting better. It's just going to get worse. The heart of man is deceitful, desperately wicked above all things, said the prophet Jeremiah. So the heart of man is not different, right? It's the same. But his expressions, the manifestation of sin, becomes deeper and deeper. The older you get, the more advantage you have to work it out, to show it, to demonstrate it. One person has made written an article recently that has said what the problem is in society, in our society today, one of the problems anyway, is that there are people that are seriously ill. They are seriously troubled. They have psychological, emotional problems for whatever reason. Traumatic experience in their past, be a parenthood, whatever it may be, they have some problems. But what the politicians have done is that they've taken these problem children, these problem adults now, these people with psychological and emotional problems, and they've given them a platform. And they've tried to make them normal, like transgendered people, like homosexuality and homosexual marriage, like these people that have been truly assaulted and hurt by predators. And they've given them a platform and expanded their voice. And they themselves that are in politics, among the politicians sometimes, have emotional and psychological problems. I think they're all on drugs. That's just one man's opinion. A lot of them are on medication. And this is not my, this is an article that was recently written about what's going on. Why is it going on, right? We're asking, what are we to say? How are we to explain this? I don't want to belabor the issue with some people that think that, well, sin's no different today than it was yesterday. It sure is. It sure is. Come on. Don't be so naive. Don't let your theological belief cloud your vision. The heart of man is no different. But sin is becoming, it's expanding. It's growing up. It's growing out. And let me tell you why. Because it's a basic biblical principle. That's why. I'm not speaking out of my hat. I'm not giving my opinion. I'm just not trying to be obnoxious, although obnoxious I am, I admit. But that's not why I say this. It's because the Bible says, because God says it, because God tells you what he's going to do. What's going on today in the United States and throughout the world, really, is the judgment of God is rolling on from coast to coast and beyond. The judgments of God and the judgment of God is rolling on. It's not just in nature where we see hints of a judgment to come, because the entire earth, no matter where you are, is under a curse and under the judgment of God. And the great judgment day, when the whole entire earth is going to be consumed, is hinted at in every hurricane and cyclone and tornado and, you know, terrible tsunami, whatever event it may be. All to say, God's judgment is upon the earth. But that's the physical way. But God's judgment is upon the earth against man. And so what he's doing, what's happening now, is that God has, as Paul says here in Romans chapter 1, particularly in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I'll talk about convenient and manners and all that tonight. But God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So what's God doing? He's giving man what he wants. You want sin? I'll give you sin. You want sex, illicit sex? I'll give you sex, illicit sex. You want fornication and homosexuality? I'll give you entire communities. He's giving them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are inconvenient. In other words, the righteous God, in judgment against what's going on in this world, is giving people more sin. You want sin, it's going to become greater and greater and greater. And this is a basic principle. This is what giving them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are inconvenient. I'm giving you over to your mind that you want. I'm giving you what you want. I'm giving you more of what you want. Well, so let's blame God, right? God's the reason for this. And we know that the Bible says God's not the reason for this. God does not sin. God does not force a person to sin. God does not encourage sin. But what he does is he gives them over to what's called the law of life. What's the law of life? Well, it's been announced in the Bible, in the Old Testament and New Testament, again and again. The Reformed, of course, have picked up on it because they are thinkers. Because they look and examine the Word of God and they come up with this stuff. It's not right in view there. It is not 3 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 that says, the law of life is such. But the law of life is there. And what is the law of life? Well, it comes from the idea that what you sow, you will reap. But what is forgotten about the sowing and the reaping? What is neglected about the sowing and the reaping is that what you reap is often 30, 60, 100, 1,000 times more than that which you sow. Think of a flower, one single flower. It has hundreds, even thousands of seeds in it that make many more of the same kind of plant, same kind of blossom and bloom. Just one brings hundreds more. One kernel of corn brings hundreds more. That's the principle of sowing and reaping. You reap what it is you sow, but you reap far more than you sow. So if you reap in the flesh, as Paul says, you sow what? He doesn't say you sow in the flesh. He says you sow corruption. What does corruption mean? Corruption means destruction. It means ruin. So if you're going to reap sow some sin, this sin, that sin, the other sin, it's going to reap ruin. It's going to expand into total destruction. That's what you're doing. That's what they're doing in their life. And that's what you, Christian, need to be aware of, that you don't do, and that your children understand the principle of life. The law of life. Are you going to blame God for the law of life that he set in place to bring things to a conclusion? Well, let's look at just one law, a physical law. The law of gravity, right? What's the law of gravity do? Well, it pulls you down, right? The greater mass is going to pull the lesser mass to it. Force is greater, right? Well, what if somebody who has terrible thoughts, I don't know, he just or she doesn't want to live anymore. So he goes up to a high bridge and jumps off that bridge into the current below, kills herself. What happened? The law of gravity took control, right? And the law of gravity says if you jump off this bridge into that current below, you're going to kill yourself. The law of gravity teaches you that it's going to pull you into that water at a certain rate, and you're going to hit it, and water becomes at a certain speed, at a certain height, it becomes like cement when you hit it. It's not soft. And you just your bones are shattered, and you drown. God didn't change the law of gravity. The law of gravity says if you do that, it's going to, the law of chemistry, right? If you take this drug and you take too much of it, it's going to overwhelm your system and it's going to kill you. It's going to poison you. It's going to kill you. That's the law of chemistry. He didn't change the law of chemistry. Didn't change the law of gravity. He doesn't change the law of life. What you sow, you will reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap damnation. You're going to reap ruination upon yourself as an individual, but also as a group of individuals, as a society, as a nation. The nation wants to sow to the flesh, it's going to reap ruination. And that's what's happening in our nation today. That's what you're seeing. You may want to deny it. You may want to hide yourself your head in the sand like an ostrich, you know, the proverbial ostrich. I don't think they do that. But the proverbial ostrich, hide in the, but that's what's happening right before your eyes. It's called the law of life. And it's called, in by Paul here in Romans 1, giving them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And he mentions all these things in these verses, in verses 29 and following, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. And then the pinnacle of it all is without natural affection. You know, it's giving yourself over to a vile affections, as he says in verse 26, for even women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is suitable, which is meet, and that is being given over to reprobation, given over to a reprobate mindset, given over to not only doing those things, but encouraging others who do them to chime in with them. Don't you see it? Don't you see it all? Isn't it as clear as a bell? There is nothing mystical or mysterious or beyond recognition or understanding in this. It's clear that the principle that Paul has said, giving themselves over to a reprobate mind, sowing and reaping principle, where you reap, which is often forgotten, you reap so much more than you sow. You sow one, you reap 100. You sow 1,000, you reap 10,000. That kind of thing. That's a principle. That's a principle in life. It's a principle of nature. It's a principle in our lives as well. God has set that in place. Don't blame him when it's ignored. These are laws that he has set in place. And so, what do we do? What do we tell our children? Well, the first thing is, of course, you need to tell them Christ. You need to teach them Christ. And I'm going to get a little more into that tonight. But you have to tell them the right way. And the right way is Christ and the Bible. And show them the Word of God and show them Christ. And the answer is to repent of your sin before it's too late. To embrace him in faith before too long. Before you go into this way, and you go down this path, and you just keep on stumbling and rolling and falling, going along that way. And we need to teach them that. We need to teach our children and our young people, even in high school and college age, that there's a principle here called the law of life. Just like there's the law of gravity. And God has set it in place. And if you break it, if you go against that law, it's going to go against you. It's that simple. And you're going to reap what you sow 1,000 times over, except for the intervention of Jesus Christ. See, Christ has saved us from ourselves, because we would be just like him. We would be going down that route too. We would be more and more in the darkness. But thanks be to God in Christ, who has turned us around from that, who has interceded on our behalf so that our sin doesn't follow up that way and get worse and worse and greater and lead us in the way of destruction. He has interrupted that. Now, what do we do in return? We show gratitude to him for so great a salvation by obeying his word and his commandments, by implying them into applying them into our lives and into the lives of our young ones, not only by word but by example. And let me give you a little hint here, what we would do, and then I have to go because it's so late. I'm sorry about that, but I can go on and on about this. Did you ever hear the teaching of the onesies become nunsies? You know what that means? There was an elder's daughter in the church I previously pastored, Cherry Hill Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and the elder's daughter taught her this onesies become nunsies principle. What is that? Well, my kids are, and I'm not easy. I love my kids less like you do, and I give my life for them. But I'm also pretty tough when it comes to teaching. And I told them, look, your mother and I have set an example before you. This example is not only in word, but in deed. And we say, follow us. We go to church every Sunday, all day. Whatever's available, we go to. If it's not available, it's not available. But if there's Sunday school available, we go to Sunday school. If there's a morning service available, we go to morning service. If there's an evening service available, we go to evening service. Come what may, doesn't matter. And when we were on vacation, we did the same thing. We took them to Sunday school, to morning service, to evening service. Didn't matter, wherever we went, that's what we did, if it was available. And this elder's daughter was taught by him, he tells his daughter, onesies become nunsies. What that means is that you set the example going twice to church, for example, on Sunday. It's not just two Sundays, if it's available. But your children decide, well, I'm only going to go once, which is most of our kids, what they're doing now, only going to go once. Well, what do you think is going to happen to their children or to their children's children following that? I'm telling you, he's right. Onesies become nunsies. It may not be you that doesn't go to church, but your child will wind up not going to or going to church hit and miss sometimes. As you see now before your very eyes, you know it's true. And not only that, if it's not your children directly, it'll be their children. If it's not their children, it'll be the children's children. Onesies become nunsies. A simple principle, a simple rule. It's not infallible. It's not always the case. You can defy gravity, too. There are exceptions. Think about it. Simple rules, simple laws, simple patterns of life to follow. What's happening now in the United States and in our society and in our community is the law of life. God has given them up to a reprobate mind, and he's increasing. He's given them sin. It's given them sin more and more till it comes out of their nostrils, just like he did to the wicked Israelites who complained about manna. They wanted meat. They wanted meat. He said, I'll give you meat. I'll give you so much that it'll come out of your nostrils. You'll be bursting from it. You want sex? I'll give you sex. I'll give you more and more sex. So it gets so wicked that now they're communicating homosexual marriage. You want it. You asked for it. You got it. Let us reverse that by going to Jesus and coming back to what is sensible and godly and good reality. People. Reality is in Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. Help us to stay the course against this crazy, upset world. Give us victory, not because we're better, we're not. Not because we're more powerful or stronger or better willpower, anything like that. But because of your grace, your amazing grace, that will turn this whole thing around and hear our prayers, Lord, and forgive our sins. For we have done wickedly in your sight as well. We have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We have turned to this way and to that way. But thanks be to God in Christ, you give the victory. Even in this life, even starting now, through faith in you, through your word. In your name we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for hearing us. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn number 521. 521. And let's rise up to sing this hymn, 521.